don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks. This ain't no matter if I'm right. Dialogue. So rise up, shout out, it's time for your voice to be heard. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks.
All right, good morning everyone, and welcome to Cody Talks. It's Sunday, February 17th, back on the air after a little bit of a break. I always, when I tell people about the break, I feel like I'm rubbing it in, but, we spent, my family and I spent 7 days in Cancun last week, and I tried and tried and tried to get Heath to let me go live from Cancun and do the show, but he wouldn't do it. So we did a best of, right?
Yes, we did.
Was it actually a best of, or you just replayed an episode from the past? How come you didn't mix up some of the greatest highlight moments of our 33 weeks on air?
Take a while to go through.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, if you're watching us on the website or you've seen it, the post on Facebook, the name of the show today is Episode 33, Legalizing Pot and Personal Fitness. The reason that we have such a unique combination of subject matter is because we have two very cool guests. Joe Steerwalt's here in studio with us. Joe, you're going to get involved in the legalizing pot conversation here at the beginning?
I was actually going to smoke pot while we talked about it, if that's all right.
That's
a joke.
I mean, go for it. You know, I don't know. We get in a little bit of trouble at the studio. Probably the law enforcement would just let it. They got other things to worry about, right? They're not going to come and bug us. Our show would get much better, probably.
Might.
More entertaining. On the line, we have another guest, Everett Farnell. Everett, are you there?
I sure am.
Everett, I've read through your stuff, but tell us real quick what you do, and why you came on the show today and what you want to talk about.
Well, what I do is speak, around the country and write about freedom. You see, we are really incrementally losing every freedom that we have in the country today from ultra surveillance from the government. I mean, they know, they meaning the government, if they want to figure out what you're doing, they can find out everything you're doing. There's no privacy anymore. There's no privacy of any kind of records, bank records, anything. And, there's no civil rights. They don't even have to honor habeas corpus anymore. They can come disappear you, believe it or not, as crazy as that sounds in America. The government can now come disappear people, unilaterally with no right to anything. And, now as far as the issue of marijuana, one of the most basic rights is the right to handle your body the way that you want to handle it. The right to put what you want into your own body. And, so I advocate for freedom, really. And, it's not a matter of choice or my personal choice. It's a matter of having the ability to make that choice. In other words, I really don't care whether somebody smokes pot or not. I don't. But I think that everybody should have the right to make that choice if that's what they want to do.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I absolutely agree with you there. I noticed on your bio that it talks about that you support or talk, are you a libertarian? Is that a true statement? I saw the word on your bio. I wanted to clarify.
Philosophically, yes. I don't particularly care for political parties, but, if I were going to associate with any political party, it would be the Libertarian Party. But philosophically, yes, I am a libertarian.
Okay. Absolutely. I am as well. I have some, I'm not a diehard, hardcore. I'm a big fan of freedoms myself. I think that the level of of where they're actually where they've actually been degraded, and the potential of where they could be degraded. Maybe you and I are different. I don't think I think there's your initial statements there were a little bit more dire than I think the current situation actually is, but there's definitely the potential to head that way. And as far as whether or not someone wants to sit in their basement and light up a marijuana cigarette, I couldn't agree with you more that that's absolutely their right. Not only that, it seems like we just waste maybe billions, I don't know, but at least hundreds of millions of dollars in man hours trying to fight that. I know that you talked somewhat about the tax benefits of it, or the fact is that correct? That you have some tax analysis on it as well, as much as a freedom issue?
Well, I'm not a big fan of taxes, you know, period, because I do want a smaller government, not a bigger government. However, the fact is that we are, that the politicians have managed to take our economy and get it into a hellacious state with the amount of debt that the country owes. And et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, there are some definite tax benefits. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even, as you said, billions of dollars in tax revenue for local, state, and federal governments to try and help dig us out of this mess that they managed to create by allowing entrepreneurial activity to go on, by allowing people to grow hemp and marijuana, by allowing hemp and marijuana to be used not only for smoking but also hemp has a number of different uses. It's a wonderful industrial product. You can make clothes out of it. You can make rope out of it. I mean, it's a wonderful, versatile product. So we can, we can tax by creating a new industry. It creates a new revenue source for government, and that revenue source can then be used to help pay off the current mess that most cities, counties, states, and certainly the federal government has found themselves in.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me throw this point at you. All of this being said, everything that you've said so far, to me at least, and I think to most people, seems like common sense. You're not saying anything about marijuana that's off the wall or crazy. That being said, why is it illegal? What in our country, you know, why is it something that is completely banned, illegal in our country? What got us to that point?
Well, what got us to that point was Reefer Madness, you know, the movie, which is a ridiculous movie. But that was the PR campaign that got us to the point that got the population behind the idea of outlawing marijuana. Now, why does it maintain, you know, things sometimes start for one reason and continue for other reasons. And why does it continue? Because there's, as you mentioned, billions of dollars in funding that go to various levels of law enforcement. There's an entire prison industry, and that's publicly and privately owned prisons. I mean, I'm talking about, the public prisons are starving for money just as bad as the private prisons are. So we got a huge prison industry and, huge enforcement, and a lot of power to do things that we would not have allowed the government to do at a time in this country. They were able to get us as the populace to allow them to do, as far as searches and these kind of things, and erode some civil rights. They were able to get us as a population to allow them to do that with this, you know, with the big boogeyman of drugs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's some, I think every erosion of freedom that's ever happened, I honestly believe, and I know there's all kinds of theories, and I think that every one of them throughout history has started with good intentions. I think in America, not in the history of the world, but I really do believe in the history of America, a lot of these things that have led to erosion of freedoms, if not all of them, have started with good intentions. I think someone, you know, like you said, saw the movie, the mindset changed, and they thought they were going to make America a better place. They just didn't think through the whole process, of the logistics behind it, as well as the fact that, you know, anytime you make something that was considered legal illegal, you make a whole bunch of good people criminals. A whole bunch of non-criminals become criminals, and that's the people whose freedoms are really eroded away for the sake of some ethical or moral argument. I mean, would you agree that that's that the case was that someone thought, hey, this would be better for America if we didn't have all these negative effects that marijuana use, distribution, and production cause?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I would hate to think that there was nefarious motives behind it to begin with. However, when you start looking at some of this stuff, you start to really wonder if maybe there are nefarious motives. But whether there are or there are not, they couldn't do it without the support of the populace. And that's really, you know, I mean, that's whether it was well-intentioned or ill-intentioned, the fact is they couldn't do it without the support of the populace, without the support of the people. So what, you know, what we need to do is focus on, instead of where it came from or what the intentions were about where it came from, what we need to do is focus on helping people understand the, you know, what freedom is all about, and helping people understand that only with freedom does the American dream come to life. It doesn't exist. You know, there was no Soviet dream. You know what I mean? There's people aren't flocking to Great Britain because of the Great Britain dream. They came to America because of the American dream, and the American dream was that you can live your life the way you wanted to live your life and work hard and do something, achieve something that you could leave to your children and improve their circumstances beyond where your circumstances are. Well, that doesn't exist in a country where people are taken care of and their behavior is regulated to the nth degree. So I think that, you know, while I think that I understand your question, I don't know that if it really matters at this point. You know
the utmost respect, I want to slightly disagree with you a little bit, because I think that sometimes understanding where it comes from actually leads to a better dialogue to make progress to solve it. In the sense that I think a lot of people think that that every erosion of freedom ever came from, I love your word, nefarious. I don't use it very often in my vocabulary, but I'm going to start because you've inspired me to. But I think that sometimes we have trouble moving forward with an intelligent dialogue because of a debate over where it came from. Here's what I mean, that some folks, and believe me, I'm with you on the fact that I think it's an erosion of freedom, and I think it's a silly one. But if those of us that are on that side come at it as it's nothing more than an erosion of freedom, and we're not understanding of the fact that some of the people that are behind pot being illegal are not behind it for the sake of attacking our freedoms. They're behind it because they believe we would have a better society if it's illegal. And if we don't understand a little bit of that, where it came from, I think it negates us moving forward and having an intelligent conversation about it. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yes and no. What I would say is that there are people who believe we have a better society for regulating behavior. I don't think that, I kind of view those people, quite frankly, as busybodies who are too interested in what other people are doing. You know, there are people who want to outlaw hamburgers. Now, I don't eat McDonald's, because I choose not to. However, there are people who want to outlaw McDonald's. There are people who want to outlaw like Bloomberg up in New York, he wants to outlaw sugary drinks over a certain size. Just because somebody may sincerely, perhaps sincerely, believes that we're going to have a better society if they can regulate out of the society behaviors that they believe to be unhealthy, I don't think that message, just because their motives are their motives may be good, I don't think that necessarily gets them a seat at the table to have a conversation. I think that the answer to that is, that your behavior, what you want to do, your desired behavior, whether your motives are good or not, your desired behavior is so destructive and so antithetical to what America stands for. And depending on the specific circumstances, I may even say borderline evil. That you don't get to have a seat at the table. You don't get to tell me what I want to do. Now, if you want to have a conversation about whether I should drink sugary drinks, whether I should eat hamburgers, whether I should eat more vegetables, well, then we can have that conversation all day long. But the moment that you say that you want to use guns to force me to do what you think I should do, then you don't get a seat at the table. Your moral authority is gone.
But if we don't give that, please understand, if this is going to sound like I'm arguing with you, and on one point I actually am a little bit, but I agree with you on the freedom issue. I also, though, think that we have to respect the fact that they have the freedom to bring those laws to the table, and that the reason that we have this political mess that we do in Washington is not giving people that we completely disagree with a seat at the table to have the conversation. Now, I'm with you 100% that when we sit down at that table, I do not think, it's not that I don't think, I know that they shouldn't have the right to use force and laws to restrict those freedoms. But I think some of the problem right now in society is not giving the people that we adamantly disagree with a seat at the table. We see it over and over again in Washington, D.C., that there's just no conversation happening because of disagreement in principle.
See, here, that the problem is that the people in D.C. all think that you should bring guns to the table. They all think that they should be allowed to tell you what to do. Now, they want to tell you to do different things, but they all think that that they should be allowed to bring guns to the table and force other people to do what they want to do. My point is that we as a people, the American people, not the people in Washington, but the American people have to get to a point where we understand that we don't have a right to use force to impose our will on another. And if you say it like that, if you say, is it right for somebody to stick a gun to your head and force you to do something, or in the alternative, for you to stick a gun to somebody else's head and force them to do something, even if what you're forcing them to do or what you're being forced to do can be shown to be good for you, is that right? A vast majority of Americans would say, no, that's not right. However, what we have a disconnect because we don't realize that that's what our government does every day. So our government says everybody will agree that there are negative health benefits to pot. Everybody will agree there are negative mental benefits to pot. Everybody will agree that it probably shouldn't be smoking pot, certainly not on a regular basis. An occasional recreational user, you know, whatever, but certainly not on a regular basis. People should not smoke pot. However, when people don't, they have a disconnect in their head that says pot should be illegal because it's not good for you, but we shouldn't use guns to force other people to do what we want them to do or not to do what we want them to do. And they don't understand that the fact that it's illegal means that we are using guns to do that, and that's what needs to be brought to the forefront.
Yeah,
when that's brought to the forefront, it doesn't matter what the politicians think.
Yeah, absolutely.
The populace of the country says, wait a second, you guys are nothing but force. You guys are using guns and violence to tell us what we have to do. Then we get a paradigm shift.
Yeah, I agree, and I agree 100% with that last statement, that getting people to understand that is the whole premise of this, that freedom, including freedom to screw your life up and be unhealthy, unfortunately, is that's an unfortunate side effect of freedom, but it's a necessary one. It's one that has to be there, or you are. I understand and completely agree with that. Hey, Everett, I tell you what, we got to take a quick break, and I kind of planned on you just being the first segment, but I want to go just a couple of minutes longer. Can you hang with us for a two-minute break, and we'll be right back?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, thank you.
Remember the 60s? That's when the U.S. Surgeon General warned us that cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. And now there's another warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Radon causes lung cancer. Radon is an invisible gas that seeps into your home, and it can cause lung cancer whether you smoke or not. The only way to know if radon is in your home is to have it tested.
Visit www.kansasradonprogram.org. Sponsored by the Kansas Radon Program, the Kansas Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
FFA provides leadership, personal growth, and career success training through agricultural education. Today, there are 557,318 FFA members in grades 7 through 12 who belong to one of 7,498 local FFA chapters throughout the U.S. Help us celebrate FFA Week, February 16th through the 23rd, by congratulating the members of your local FFA chapter. Thank you to the Great Plains Federal Credit Union for helping recognize the hard work and efforts of the members of the Hillsborough FFA chapter.
Ready for a fresh start? The new year is a great time to get a new financial outlook. Let Great Plains Federal Credit Union help with a fresh start debt consolidation loan. Debt consolidation can help you lower payments, freeing up money for other things. Reduce the amount you pay in interest by paying off higher rate debt. Consolidate payments to different lenders into one payment and get caught up on your financial obligations. Borrow up to $30,000 and take up to 60 months to pay. Rates as low as 3.99 APR. Certain restrictions apply. Contact Great Plains Federal Credit Union in Hillsborough. Member NCUA.
The Shocker women's basketball team wraps up their regular season home schedule when they play host to conference opponents Evansville in Southern Illinois. Head out to Charles Koch Arena on Thursday, February 21st as the Shockers take on the Purple Aces at 7. Show your support for our seniors on Saturday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. for Superhero Senior Night. Kids, come dressed as your favorite superhero and receive free admission. It's also Wichita Eagle Family Night. Purchase 4 tickets for hot dogs, 4 bags of popcorn, and 4 drinks for only $32. Get your tickets now. Call 978-FANS or visit GoShockers.com.
KSKU. Cody
Talks. All right, welcome back to Cody Talks. Sunday, February 17th. It's our official legalizing pot and personal fitness episode, which is wonderful to me. We've got Everett Farnell on the line. Everett is a is enoughlies.com your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's a great website. I've been through it. Very interesting choice of subject matter all the way through it. I really like it. Again, it's enoughlies.com. There's a link to it below on Cody Talks, right below the video for this episode. If you're watching it live, you can click on that and open the website, and the audio will continue to play on your computer. It'll open in a new tab. Everett, I've loved the conversation. I want to throw – we actually had a question on Twitter come in during the break. What about other recreational drugs? Does you know, because I think that at a minimum, the conversation gets more intense when you throw the words cocaine and heroin around.
Right.
But really, I'll do it this way. My perspective from my political views is there's really no difference. If you're going to bite off on freedom, you've got to bite off on it, no matter how extreme the personal choice is. Do you agree?
I do, as long as that personal choice does not damage anybody else or their property. In other words, as long as your personal choices are not infringing on somebody else's rights, I absolutely agree. I think philosophically, there's no difference, even though we can show that medically there's a difference. Philosophically, I don't think that there's any difference between cigarettes, marijuana, alcohol, cocaine, tobacco, heroin, sugary foods, fatty foods, fast foods, any of it. It's all destructive to your body. I will acknowledge that it's destructive to your body at different levels, but it's all to your body, and it's all your choice to put it into your body and nobody else's choice. Now, if we put it into our body and then act in a way that then damages somebody, so somebody snorts cocaine and then gets in a fight with somebody, then we've committed a crime, and now just because you were high on cocaine is not an excuse for committing the crime. Pardon me. So I think that when somebody actually commits a crime, that we should deal with that. And when I say actually commits a crime, that means that they have infringed on somebody else's rights. But as far as they want to sit in their house and do whatever they want to do, well, that's their business.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And to me, it sometimes sounds like a simple argument, but it's no different than if you get in a car and drive it into someone's house and kill them. It's not the car's fault. And that sounds like such a, sometimes I feel elementary when I use that as an example. But it really is, if people are gonna truly believe in the freedoms that we have in this country, it's the truest of points that can be made.
Freedom of action, our freedom and personal privacy is not there to defend the person who never does anything, never does anything that's questionable and never goes outside the bounds of societal behavior. Freedom of speech is not there to protect, to protect somebody who never says anything on the fringe. Freedom of speech is there to protect people who do speak on the fringe and who do express themselves on the fringe. And because those people are protected, then everybody else is protected too.
No, I've never truly heard it put that way, but I really like that perspective on it. And I really do. I've never heard it put that way and like it a lot. I'm going to use that from here on out and hopefully remember to credit you for it. Thanks a bunch for being on the show today. We've got to move on to other subject matters, but it ended up being an incredibly interesting conversation. I appreciate you coming on. Folks should go and check out your website. It's enoughlies.com. And Everett, I want to thanks again for coming on the show today. I think you're a person that has managed in the last 20 minutes to get on my list of people that I want to have on again, if that's okay with you.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to come back on, Cody, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you very much. And enoughlies.com, Everett Farnell. A lot of good conversation, discussion material, and thought-provoking stuff on the website and in Everett's mind. So great guest, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What'd you think, Joe? You didn't know you were getting into that when you showed up today, did you?
I did not. That was definitely interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the this is going to sound like I waited for Everett to get off to talk about him, which is not the case. I'd talk about him when he was on. But, you know, I think Everett, and I didn't know it beforehand going in for sure, I had some thoughts from the bio material. You know, he's talking about freedom of speech is there to protect those people that speak on the fringe outside of societal norms. I couldn't agree 100% more. I think he's there. You know, he started right off with some pretty extreme violation of privacy things that I don't necessarily think are something that we need to worry about on a day-to-day basis. But at the same time, he's right. Freedom of speech is there to protect the people that others might consider wackos in what they're saying.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I understand what he's saying, and I agree with a lot of it. The problem that I find is that when we talk about those people speaking out on the fringe, we get into things like the Westboro Baptist Church, you know, and they're protected under the Freedom of Speech Act. And those type of things are what I think others have concerns about. Not necessarily freedom, because we all want freedom, but where is the line drawn into where it's freedom of speech into hate speech at that point?
Yeah, but at the same time, we've got to remember that there was a time in history. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to and no kidding, I would do the time in jail to beat the living crap out of the people from Westboro. I mean, I really would. If I was face to face to them at a veteran's funeral. I actually have been. They came to Hutchinson one time, and because of the people that got to choose where they got to stand in their permits, they actually stood in about 8 inches of water in the freezing cold. The Patriot Riders were there. And quite honestly, it ended up being like almost a cool experience because the Patriot Riders dominated and overwhelmed them so much. But if my dad hadn't been standing there, I literally was able to restrain myself out of respect for my dad and him probably happened to be one of the ones that cuffed me when I laid them all out in the ditch that they were standing in. But so point being, I hate him. I mean, and I don't use that word. I really don't use that word. And I would do the time. I would go to jail and suffer the consequences, but I firmly believe that when I laid them out in that ditch, I should go to jail and suffer the consequences because they have the right. And they're on that fringe. And if this was just a web show, I would have all kinds of words for them that, that the FCC won't let me use to describe them. But at the same time, we have to remember that, Martin Luther King was on that fringe at one time in the things that he was saying that the masses of society disagreed with him at that point. And that's what the fringe gets us, is we have to take the good with the bad. And that's where we are, why we are on the positive side, where we are as a country. I have no idea if that last sentence actually made sense.
Going back to what Everett had mentioned, he said that he believed that your personal freedom should be to do whatever you want as long as it doesn't infringe upon the rights and freedoms of other people, correct? I don't believe that Martin Luther King, while he was on the fringe, was hindering other people's personal freedoms and rights by speaking out for those who didn't have their own rights or freedoms. However, Westboro Baptist, I mean, they're almost to the point where it's hate speech and terrorist acts. I mean, what they're doing causes, you're not the only one that feels like that. You know, I feel like that. Probably half of your listeners or more feel like if they could take a bat to the head of Fred Phelps, that they would do it in a heartbeat.
But you don't have the right to not be offended. That's never promised anywhere, and that's part of it, is we have to remember that, and I hope that people can understand that I'm not arguing for those idiots. I'm just arguing for the fact that you really don't have the right to not be offended, because on all different kinds of levels, people's stupidity and ignorance offends me on a daily basis, you know, and makes me want to either you know, all the way from just smack them in the back of the head to truly baseball bat them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at times there's people that take it to the point that I actually firmly believe that they just need to not exist on this earth anymore. And someone's going to take that as a murder threat, and it's not what it is. But, you know, I think it's important to remember that I truly do believe in freedom on that level, that you have the right to do whatever you want to do until you infringe on someone else's right to do whatever they want to do. And it seems like a simplistic elementary thing. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I wish people would never ever do again. You know, I don't ever want anyone in the world to stick a heroin needle in their arm. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's this gray area on, do I really have the right to say you can't do that?
Right.
And Everett uses the extreme example. And Everett, if you're still listening, it's extreme. And I think it's contrary to good conversation to say the government holds a gun to your head. But at the same time, that police officer that's arresting you for smoking a joint does have a gun on his hip that says he can do it. So, anyway, I want to get away from this conversation because you're here for some other stuff, but it's something that I believe deeply in. I believe just as deeply as Everett does in the same freedom concepts that he does. Now, I want to say this, and I'm saying it live, so I'm not hiding my feelings from Everett. I think he's on an extreme fringe that prevents good conversation and discussion sometimes with his approach to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Okay. Well, I screwed you out of a whole segment now because we've got to take another commercial, but the next 30 minutes are dedicated to Joe and why he has this beanie on in studio today. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Love is in the air this February at First Council Casino when you and your sweetheart can drive off in brand new 2013 Chevy Camaros. Join us for the Lover's Lane giveaway. Earn entries every Saturday in February beginning on the 2nd just by using your Red Rock Rewards card. From 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. for every 30 points earned, you'll get one entry for a brand new 2013 Chevy Camaro. The more you play, the better your chances. And to make the deal even sweeter, join us Saturdays February 9th, 16th, and 23rd from 2 to 6 p.m. for $500 his and her cash drawings. Then get revved up for our ladies' grand prize drawing on Friday, March 1st, and grand prize drawing for the guys on Saturday, March 2nd. We'll be hosting $500 cash drawings both days, and one lucky guy and gal will drive away in a brand new Camaro. So cruise on down to Lover's Lane, only at First Council Casino, North Highway 77 in Newkirk, just south of the Kansas state line. Visit FirstCouncilCasinoHotel.com for more info. More winners, more cash, more often. Cars provided by Davis Moore in Wichita.
The Shocker women's basketball team wraps up their regular season home schedule when they play host to conference opponents Evansville in Southern Illinois. Head out to Charles Koch Arena on Thursday, February 21st as the Shockers take on the Purple Aces at 7. Show your support for our seniors on Saturday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. for Superhero Senior Night. Kids, come dressed as your favorite superhero and receive free admission. It's also Wichita Eagle Family Night. Purchase 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 bags of popcorn, and 4 drinks for only $32. Get your tickets now. Call 978-FANS or visit GoShockers.com.
FFA provides leadership, personal growth, and career success training through agricultural education. Today, there are 557,318 FFA members in grades 7 through 12 who belong to one of 7,498 local FFA chapters throughout the U.S. Help us celebrate FFA Week, February 16th through the 23rd, by congratulating the members of your local FFA chapter. Thank you to H&B Communications for helping to recognize the hard work and efforts of the members of the Central Plains FFA chapter.
KSKU.
Cody Talks.
All right, we're back. We're done talking about dope, Joe.
Put it away, I guess.
We're gonna move on to other issues. For those of you that don't know, Joe is a personal trainer. I spent quite a bit of time working out with Joe, saw some incredibly positive results, and then used the fact that I got busy to hide an inner laziness and haven't done it for a while. But Joe is a guy that I think is probably incredibly passionate about personal health. I kind of have gotten in this in my discussions lately about fitness and things. I think the health issue is the big issue, right? I mean, yeah, there's all the aesthetic benefits. There's all other things, but that's really what you are, right? I mean, you're a guy that's passionate about people being healthy. Not everyone that you're training, are you trying to turn them into an elite athlete? It's not even always about just looking good in at the swimming pool. It's about being healthy, right?
That's correct. You know, the aesthetic benefits are absolutely side benefits. You know, most of the clients that come to see me for the short period of time do want the quote unquote beach body, or, you know, I'm getting ready for summer. But the ones who stick for, you know, lifelong are the ones who I want to be there for. You know, I want to be able to get up and down out of my chair. I want to walk my kids down the aisle. Things, you know, that are going to benefit them throughout the rest of their life. They don't want to be, you know, that older person walking down, you know, the street hunched over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Typhotic back.
And it's another one of those things, and my brain is trying to turn it into a societal argument that would get political, and we'd be trying to get Everett back on the line. And I don't want to do that, but I think if more people would look at it that way, because I think a lot of folks in the United States and worldwide, I've been to other parts of the country, and while I think we maybe dominate the obesity race
by a lot,
the race to obesity, it's happening in other parts of the world as well. It's a byproduct of freedom, is actually what it is. It's a byproduct of and the reason that it's worse in America is it's another one of those pitfalls of our freedom, of I can do what I want to do, and if I want to sit and eat junk and be lazy and get overweight and become incredibly unhealthy, I can. And I firmly believe in that. But if people would look at it from that health perspective of I want to enjoy my kids and then my grandkids and maybe, you know, even my great-grandkids and all the other life experiences that come from living a long, healthy life, I think we could win more of those arguments, because I think a lot of people have just decided I'm never gonna look like Joe. I'm never gonna look like whoever, Kate Upton. You want to just talk about Kate Upton?
We could do that. That's be a good conversation.
Have you seen the new cover of the SI swimsuit issue?
I don't think that I have. It's probably best that I don't for a while, so I can focus.
It would distract you from the remainder of the show. Anyway, I think a whole bunch of people have gone, okay, I'm never going to look like that, so why try? When that's not even really what it should be about.
No, that's true. You know, looking good, you know, and feeling, and you know, from my story that I didn't always look this way, that, you know, I used to weigh 270 pounds.
And you're not 7 foot two.
No, yeah, I'm much shorter than you are. Have a good basketball or football career at that point. But really, you know, looking good is not as important as feeling good. And the biggest problem that I think is that as people, you know, you get older and you get busier and you settle down and kids and all these things, life starts piling up on you and you stop putting your personal fitness as a priority. What happens is the change is so small over time that you just degrade, you know, and you don't even notice the small changes. You don't notice that, you know, you're, you know, it takes more time to tie your shoe, or getting in and out of your car becomes uncomfortable. Sleeping becomes uncomfortable. Everything starts adding up, but it's such a in small incremental values that you don't notice it all at once. And so that just becomes your daily life. And then 10 years later, you wake up and say, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, pre-diabetic and high blood pressure, and I've got all these health problems. How did this happen? You know, I just slowly let everything add up until my life is now this at this point, and gosh, what can I do about it?
So let's take that person, the person that's actually gotten to the point, because then you start to think then it becomes a hopeless thing. I mean, and for some people, they start to think, oh, there's absolutely nothing I can do now, or I'm too far gone. Or I think a lot of people think I don't have the time or the money. You know, I mean, I think money becomes a real issue on in two respects. Do I have to pay a membership and a personal trainer to have access to the facilities I need? And also food. Mm-hmm. I think there's a real misconception, and I honestly had it. Going through, you know, over the last 15 years, there's been times when money was tight in my life, and you rationalize the value menu at a drive-thru over good nutrition, mm-hmm. thinking that it costs a whole bunch to eat healthy, and as well as time. So you look at money and time. I guess what I'm trying to say is if I came to you and said, hey, I'm 50 pounds overweight, I'm pre-diabetic, I can't hardly get out of bed in the morning because my lower back and knees hurt so bad from carrying all this weight around, but I don't have the time or the money to change my whole diet and hire Joe 5 days a week to fix it. Mm-hmm. So it's hopeless, isn't it?
Well, I would say you don't have the time or money to not do it. I mean, if you continue down the path that this, you know, quote unquote hypothetical person is on here, they're not going to have much time left. You know, the time that they do have is going to not have any quality of life to it at all that they, you know, that any person would consider reasonable. You know, if you're getting up every single morning and your knees hurt and your back hurt, how do you have time to not work out and to not eat healthier? You know, when we talk about things like the drive-thrus and the dollar menus, yes, those things are cheap and convenient for the most part, but what happens is you go there for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner, you're spending $3 off the dollar menu each time. That's still $9, which is a very low estimate, even with the dollar menu. And that money can be spent on, you know, vegetables or chicken, things that don't cost that much that would last you, you know, throughout the week, that are also more filling than these things that you buy at the drive-thru. Because what happens is you go to the drive-thru for breakfast, or you have your donuts and your et cetera, and you're just hungry an hour later, and then you got to go back.
Right. And so really, I think what you're saying is you can attack both that time, and even from a logistical standpoint, you kind of started out in your explanation of it on a philosophical standpoint of you don't have time to not do this because you're going to die if you don't do this, you know, or it's going to get worse. But when you sit down and analyze it, and I've done it in the sense that I'm a cycle guy. I'm trying to fight it and be a consistent guy, but I'm a get healthy, eat good. Mm-hmm. I get busy. So I sneak a cheeseburger in, sure. And then it's like an avalanche because I freaking love cheeseburgers. So
right.
I go back to cheese. And then I get mad at myself. I think, and what I try to do is just narrow those cycles.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get it to a plat. We're not there yet. We're still on this cycle thing. But I have literally found, like you just said, that when I eat healthier, I actually spend less money eating.
It's true.
when I pay attention to it. Part of it for me is when I'm not paying attention to it, when I'm just running and gunning in life, I find myself eating when I'm not even hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm driving down meeting to meeting and there's a Wendy's I should pull in. And if I don't have my brain be, if I don't have this part of my brain that's in a healthy upswing, mm-hmm. where I'm thinking about it consciously, when I'm at that point, I see that Wendy's and I go, oh, I'm supposed to be healthy. And then I go, I'm not even really hungry. Why was I going to go to that Wendy's in the first place? But from there, like you said, good food that may actually cost a little bit more than a value menu at the purchase, fills you up, mm-hmm. lasts longer. You end up eating. There's a no kidding, just nuts and bolts argument for your life is actually going to cost you less money if
right.
you're healthy. And then you throw medical expenses on top of it.
Along with productivity.
Yeah, absolutely. Along with what you can accomplish. Taking a little bit of time and a little bit of effort to be healthy ends up leaving you with more time and money in your wallet.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. I've found it. I've proven it. And I've actually kind of proven it a couple of dozen times.
Right. That cycle you mentioned, that's not uncommon. You
yeah.
see a lot of people who do the cycles. The problem is that those cycles get then farther and farther apart, and the healthier cycle gets a little bit smaller each time. I think most people, they feel hopeless, like you mentioned, because they think either they're not sure what to do, or if they do it, they think that it's not going to last long enough, or they're going to have to go on this diet forever, and they're going to have to never eat a cheeseburger again. You know, and like the last time I was on your show, I mentioned that's just not the case. You know, once you get to a healthy maintenance level, it's so much easier, and having the cheeseburger once in a while is going to be fine. You know, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to go eat, you know, broccoli and fish for the rest of your life to be healthy.
We got to take a quick break, but I want to come back to that. They don't know what to do. To me, that's the barrier that I think you have some really good answers and solutions to. We're going to take a quick two-minute break, and Joe is going to solve all your personal fitness problems when we get back.
Never play poker with a guy named Lucky. Never hit a pinata that has hornets coming out of it. Never play rock, paper, scissors with Edward Rock Hands or Edward Paper Hands. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $24.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
You know what it takes to make your farming operation successful. The right genetics, crop protection, nutrients, good weather, and a lot of hard work on your part. It's also the value that comes with finding expert advice and quality goods and services delivered to the farm gate. You can trust Mid-Kansas Co-op to provide customized solutions to help you succeed. We're your partner, experienced in delivering solutions. We're Mid-Kansas Co-op, a partner you can count on. We're MKC. Shared growth, shared success.
Hello, this is Wyatt Tibbetts with the Mound Ridge FFA chapter. FFA makes a positive difference in the lives of our members by developing their potential for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agriculture education. FFA members are tomorrow's leaders of America's number one industry, agriculture. We would like to thank Mid-Kansas Co-op for supporting the Mound Ridge FFA. Visit FFA.org for more information and find out how you can support your local FFA chapter.
I have to shower every day. Otherwise, I smell.
I have to feed a dog. Otherwise, he'll eat my dinner or bite me.
I have to put pants on when I go out of the house. Otherwise, I'd have no pants on.
There are some things you just have to do. If you're a young man turning 18, you have to sign up with a selective service system. It's the law. Plus, by registering, you'll keep your eligibility for government jobs and college loans. Go to SSS.gov today. That's SSS.gov.
KSKU. Cody Talks.
Keith giving us the warning at 3 seconds. Joe and I are in in-depth conversation. He's like, 3, 2. Anyway, there's all kinds of funny stuff that come out of that, but I'm not going to let it happen because you said before, so we talked about time as a barrier. We talked about money as a barrier. I think another big barrier, is what do I do? You know, and I love the internet. I think that the information that we now have access to in the world makes our lives better. I also think that there's absolutely some counterproductiveness to it, because there can very much be information overload that becomes more intimidating than not knowing. You know, when you get on and type into Google, I need to lose some weight. You can just get completely overwhelmed. And I think that, it doesn't matter what I think. Someone's sitting there, they've made the decision that they want to just investigate what they should do. What's your guidance on what should they do? I'm sitting here and I'm finally fed up with the fact that I've gotten overweight and I'm living an unhealthy life and I want to change it. What's that first step to get going, that first easy step to start working your way towards progress?
You know, the biggest step, Cody, is to make a decision. It all comes down to deciding what you want to do, getting there. The roadmap, you can go to Google, you can go to friends, you can go to wherever you want. The finding out where you want to go, you have to know the destination first. You have to decide exactly what you want. In my own weight loss journey, I had no idea. I was that guy. I was searching on Google and YouTube going, I want to lose weight. I don't know what to do. And I, you know, beat my head up against the wall for, you know, years trying to figure out the right answer. I didn't even know personal training existed. I didn't understand that there was that avenue, that I could reach out to someone and you know, get information on nutrition and exercise and doing weight loss the correct way, the effective and safe way. So I didn't know that existed. So what I did was, since I'd already made my decision, it didn't matter the path that I got there. It took me a lot longer, and I, you know, incurred some injuries along the way. But the point was, is I had made up my mind I was going to lose weight. I was going to get into shape, so that's what I did. And I think that the problem that a lot of people have is they say, oh, I want to lose weight. And it's this arbitrary, you know, I want to lose weight. I want to be in better health, you know, but they haven't decided, well, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to lose 15 pounds. I want to do this, or I want to not be a diabetic in 5 years.
Yeah, but what if they don't know? I mean, what if they're just unhappy with it? I'm trying like hell here to give you a pitch. I think that, and you're not taking it.
I was going there. Don't worry.
I think that, and for, okay, let's put it this way. Going and talking to someone that knows what the hell they're talking about.
Sure.
Is not an uber expensive thing.
It's not.
It's not even a kind of expensive thing to go and get. And I'm just talking about, I mean, a lot of times your first consultation, a person can even pull off for nothing to see if they want to move forward. It's a good step to go talk to somebody. And maybe even if you're not at that decision point yet, maybe if you're just at that point where I got to change something, but I don't know, I don't even know what's realistic. You know, I'm 6'3", 215, not anymore.
220, that's fine. No big deal.
But I want to be 6'3", not with this belly.
Right.
But I don't know what weight I want to be.
Sure.
I don't know where I want to go with it. I think that there's a lot, and they're everywhere. You know, and in the people that are listening to this on the radio, there's some great options at Genesis. How do you plural Genesis?
Just Genesis.
At Genesis health clubs. Other health clubs. The YMCA's around here have trained. There's great options to go and see people. And for me, I think it's really a good option to go physically talk to a person that can look at you, understand you, and give you some viable goals and options to get there.
Well, you make a great point. And the way I liken it is to, if you had to go to court to defend yourself for murder, you wouldn't go in front of the judge and say, you know what, I don't know anything about this, but I'll read a little bit about it on Google and then I'll defend myself. No, you would hire a lawyer who has experience and knows exactly what they're talking about.
At a minimum, you would go sit down with one and get some advice to, you know, and maybe it's a speeding ticket, and he's going to tell you, hey, you're better off going in there and acting dumb and innocent without a lawyer, because you might intend, you know, at a minimum, you would go get that first consultation. And that's what I almost beg people to go do now that are just spinning in that circle is, right. Hey, get another person involved. And why not have it be someone that's educated on the subject, someone that's passionate about it? You know, your enthusiasm, I've seen it with myself and your other clients, that your enthusiasm is a motivator.
Right.
You know, and get that other person involved and make it be a person that knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you're doing anything that you're not 100% sure about, getting someone else involved, you know, especially when it comes to your own health and fitness that's going to affect you for the rest of your life, it would be wise to consult someone who's not only educated and certified, but maybe who's also gone through the same, a similar experience to what you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think that it's really a great barrier destroyer to get another person involved. I've had great success with it more than once, just on my blog, mm-hmm. posting it and airing it out there and saying, my problem is my knees. Like, I don't even really pay attention to what I look like. My wife probably does and is just disturbed by it at times. But my knee, I've had surgery on my left knee twice, and my knee straight tells me when I'm overweight. I mean,
right.
it's an amazing thing that it really doesn't hurt if I'm 195 or below, and at about 201, it starts just saying, hey, lard butt, you're going in the wrong direction. And that's what triggers it for me. It really does, because I get uncomfortable. I used to post it on my blog and literally just write a blog post of, hey, my knee's starting to hurt. I've got to do something. And mm-hmm. that would, and then it wasn't because I wrote it down. It was because, and now in my mind, someone else saw it. There was other people involved, so I had to do it, you know, or it was an embarrassing thing. A peer pressure thing, but I think getting that other person involved, and I think most personal trainers will at a minimum sit down and talk with you
sure.
for, if not free, for very affordable. Is
yeah.
that a fair statement
Absolutely.
About the industry?
Most of us are very passionate about it. You know, the club that I work for, Genesis Health Clubs in Wichita, they do offer, you know, two consultations actually, when people first join the gym, to sit down with a personal trainer and find the best avenue for them to reach the success and goals that they want to reach. I'll give you an example. Wednesday, I had a girl come in and just ask, all she wanted was to take her body fat percentage. That's all she wanted. And 45 minutes later of speaking with her, she had a program worked out that I had designed for her, and I put her through a mini workout just specific to what she wanted to do. I could tell by the end I needed to shuttle her out of the door because I was supposed to go do other things, and I had just kept talking and getting animated about it because that, you know, like you said earlier, I'm very passionate about it, and I want to see others succeed, and it makes me feel really good.
Well, that passion that you have is that kick in the butt that a lot of people need. Not a kick in the butt in a forceful, demanding way. You were never that way. I've never seen you be that way. You may have clients that just think you're a complete jackwagon. I didn't see it that way. But that getting that other person involved, I really think with any goal, you know, it's very hard to have a completely internal goal that no one knows about and maintain the self-discipline to get there. And I guess in my mind, at least from a completely, from an utterly unqualified voice, I think that is the step that I would recommend to people, is go talk to someone about it. Maybe it's a doctor, you know, maybe you're at a point where that's what it needs to be. It's a doctor. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
We got a comment on Facebook from George. He puts, seems to me that what you cut out, cigarettes, whiskey, and even beer makes the difference. I love the comment, George. I would change it to makes a difference. It's not the only difference, but very much so. For me, it was food. I'm not cutting out my whiskey. It's just not going to happen, George. I'm going to have it when I want it. It's in moderation. It's water right there.
Yeah.
Joe just held up my cup, and it's water. Tap water, because the radio station didn't renew the... Anyway, but I agree that for me, a lot of times when I'm a couple pounds over where I want to be, I can literally just make that decision to not pull into Wendy's a couple of times for a couple. And please don't take this wrong, Wendy's. The reason I keep mentioning Wendy's is I love Wendy's cheeseburgers. They're great. And I have them on a
less regular basis than I would like to, but on a regular basis. But that is a big part of it. Just saying, you know what I did the first time that I had the greatest success with was I used to do the double cheeseburger at Wendy's. And I no kidding just switched to the junior bacon cheeseburger and thought I was going to starve to death. But I actually realized that I was saving about $3 and was still content and full when I pulled out of there. Goes into what George is saying. You can baby step it into just starting to cut a few things out and make a big difference.
And actually, I will say you actually have to baby step it. You can't change it. Stats have shown that if you try to change one thing about your life, you can have about an 85% success rate. When you change two things about your life, it drops down to a 30%. If you change three or more things at once in your life, 6% success rate.
Yeah, absolutely. And so great point, George. And I couldn't agree with it more. I think that baby stepping, I think getting someone involved, and it really is a giant issue in our society. And for me, it's not about that we should have a bunch of pretty people walking around the streets or society designated pretty people. It's about a happiness issue, being happy with your life, being healthy, feeling good, and at the same time, for those people that need hard number logistical arguments, it's a cheaper, more productive, funner life when you was that a shout out?
Yeah, it was a shout out.
Okay, Joe just threw a shout out on video to someone. But anyway, we're out of time. I kind of apologize because I did take a segment away that I was going to give to you, but it was a pretty interesting discussion about smoking pot.
Yeah, personal freedom.
Exactly.
You also have the freedom to be healthy, so go do it.
Right. That's absolutely right. And it's easier done if you get someone involved, and Joe's a good choice. There's a link below the video to Joe's Twitter page. Joe is ICT Fitness on Twitter. Great conversation happens there, inspiring stuff as well as just ridiculous, goofy stuff that's fun to be around, too. So go check Joe out. And decide right now that you're going to do something to make your life a little bit better. Whatever it is that you think, and maybe it's just you're going to go smoke a joint. But also,
that's what we're going to go do.
Also, there's whiskey and marijuana is what keeps this show entertaining. I'm just kidding, Heath. It's water. Calm down back there. All right. Well, thanks, Joe, for joining us. Thanks to Everett Farnell for coming on and making an interesting conversation about personal freedoms. We'll be back this week with web-only Wednesdays at 10 o'clock Wednesday morning. And for those of you on KSKU, we'll see you next Sunday at 7 a.m. Thanks.
Don't matter if you've been left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.